Forsaking sin means much more than to quit one bad habit and take up another. It means to surrender the right to sin ever again. What will you do with your sins? Oh, come now, don't turn away from the subject. It must be faced before God, and the best time to face it is now. The Bible suggests there are two primary responses people give when they have to face their sin problem. Some people deny their sins, while other people confess their sins. Now, you see, both of those responses set out in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Did you catch the two attitudes of those who deny their sins? Well, first, there are some who say that they are not sinners and have no need to be concerned about sin. And second, some say that they have never sinned and so have no need to be concerned. Now look at God's response to such attitudes. The person who says he has no sin with which to be concerned is only deceiving himself and showing that the truth of God is not in him. While the person who says that he has never sinned is making God a liar, for God has said that all have sinned and come short of His glory, and he's showing that the Word of God is not in him. On the other hand, there are some who recognize their sins and confess them to God. Those persons admit God's estimate of them is right. They admit that they have spiritual need, and they receive God's forgiveness and cleansing. Now, which will it be with you? Will you deny your sin or will you confess your sin? Our study of what it means to yield to God comes upon this divine requirement. To yield to God means you yield your sins to Him. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18 reads, God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, that is what happens when a person yields his sin to God. Would you be made free from sin? Well, here is how. First, you must confess as sin what God calls sin. Now, I recognize that confession is difficult. It shows us at our worst. It requires us to confess our most embarrassing failures. But apart from confession to God, there is no forgiveness. God warns that he who covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. So how do you receive the mercy of God? Well, you confess and forsake your sins. Remember the promise of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you would be forgiven and cleansed, you must confess your sins to God. Jesus gave a parable which illustrates that truth. He told of two men who went into the temple to pray. One was a very religious man who spent his time telling God how he fasted and tithed and fulfilled all the obligations of his religious system. The other man stood at a distance from the altar with downcast eyes and broken heart, and he prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said it was that second man, the one who confessed his sins, who went home justified before God. Remember that he who covers his sin will not prosper. It's only the one who confesses and forsakes sin who will be blessed. Second, ask for and accept God's forgiveness. Now that's the next step on yielding your sins to God. Do you remember the words of the sinner as he prayed in the temple? They were, God be merciful to me, a sinner. See, it was a confession that he was a sinner and a request for God to show mercy to him. I suggest that people yield their sins to God in a prayer something like this. God, I have sinned and I am sorry. Forgive me and make me clean for Jesus' sake. Now, God hears a prayer like that. Hearing, He answers by granting the request, and He forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now, when God has forgiven you, forgive yourself. It's one thing to yield your sins to God to ask His forgiveness, but it's another thing to leave the sense of your guilt there before the Lord and arise assured that you are forgiven and cleansed. The devil will try to convince you that God has not forgiven you, that you're still guilty. But just remember, the devil is a liar and a deceiver. So you claim God's promise and rejoice that you are forgiven, and that will indicate that you have truly yielded your sins. Third, to yield your sins to God, you must forsake them. I remember an occasion reported in the Holy Scripture when an adulterous woman was brought to Jesus. There was no question of her guilt. The crowd demanded that she be stoned to death, the current punishment for adultery. And Jesus said, "Whoever among you is without sin, let him cast the first stone." Well, the men were convicted in their hearts by their own faults and silently left one by one. At last, only Jesus and the guilty woman was left. And He asked, "Where are those who accused you?" And she replied, "There are none, Lord." And He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Now, do not interpret that to mean Jesus looked lightly on sexual immorality. Look rather at the grace of God as the guilty woman was told to go and sin no more. Have you yielded your sins to God? Only by such surrender are you truly yielded to Him. And to yield your sins to God means that you forsake those sins. There is no yielding of sin unless there is a forsaking of sin. Forsaking sin means much more than to quit one bad habit to take up another. It means the surrender of the right to sin. It means a personal preference is taken from the throne of your life and the will of God is placed there instead. From henceforth, the sin which was practiced, enjoyed, and desired is forsaken completely and forever. When I was a lad, the boys in my school did a lot of trading. They traded pocket knives, marbles, pencils, bicycles, whatever they could get by with in view of their parents' oversight. If you traded off your pocket knife, you had no further claim on it. You did not carry it any longer. You did not use it any longer. It was gone from your ownership and your use. Now, when you trade, in the words of our analogy, when you trade your sins for forgiveness, you release the right to continue in that sin any longer or ever again. To yield your sins to God is to forsake them. It is to go and sin no more. Recently, I counseled a young man who had become deeply involved in the worship of Satan. I showed him in the Bible how Jesus is greater than Satan, having secured his defeat. I told him how he could be delivered from the satanic, demonic powers he was experiencing. And then I told him that Jesus Christ demanded total allegiance. I showed him in the Bible how people burned their articles related to witchcraft when they came to Jesus, and he refused to make the commitment. He wanted the peace of God, but he did not want to give up his counterfeit and demonic religion. He did not yield his sins, and so he did not yield to God. But Father, we gladly yield to You our sins and ourselves. We know You are a God of forgiveness and mercy who receives and cleanses every sinner who comes to You. And so we thank You for receiving each one who comes to You now in yielding of their sins. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.